Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks for being with us today. I got a show today with a first-time guest. Kevin Knowlton is here. He's the executive director of something called cyber.org. And what this is a K-12 cyber education program with age-appropriate content that aligns with state standards for education, and it's currently being used in 27 states. There are 50, by the way, and counting. And it's about empowering teachers to be able to teach kids all about careers. This is what it's for, aimed at creating a cyber workplace in the future, and it's really, really important. And Kevin's going to give us some great details about it. I'm looking forward to the show. It struck me as very interesting when I learned about it. I'm so glad he can join us. We're going to archive this show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, and that's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And I hope that you join with us over there. It's free to pre-K-12 educators. And we're really trying to do good stuff for the industry, work with the industry, work with educators for equity in education. We publish a magazine, an online journal, which is right there at ace-ed.org. That's called Equity and Access, and you'll see it is a powerful magazine. Go over, take a look, read through. We're the only media in all of education focusing on equity and access. Unbelievable, right? In this day and age, it's us, all right? All our podcasts are over there as well, plus a wealth of other information. We work for equity. You can, too, at ace-ed.org. Please go over there and check it out, and you'll see all our icons for LinkedIn and Facebook and all that sort of thing. You want to just follow me? It's EduTalk Radio on Twitter and Larry Jacobs on LinkedIn and Education Talk Radio on Facebook. As Ed McBain used to say, here's Kevin. Kevin, good morning. It's Larry.
Good morning, Larry. How are you, sir?
I am fine. Where are you located? I see a 318 area code. Where's that?
Definitely. So I am headquartered out of the northern Louisiana, where, it's a very mild day today. Typical Louisiana winter.
I can hear a little twang in there. What city are you in? What town? Shreveport?
Shreveport, Louisiana, actually located in a suburb of Shreveport called Bossier City.
Oh, yeah. I know. Actually, I have a very good one of my best friends in this world of education grew up in Bossier City. His name is Mike Campbell.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unbelievable. There you go. I know it well, for goodness sake.
It's a small world.
It is a small world, but as they used to say, I wouldn't want to paint it.
Exactly.
Exactly. There you go. Kev, I read your biography over at cyber.org, which is obviously your website. They said you always keep people laughing over there, et cetera. Your job, are you the executive director, the president? Talk about what you do and just define cyber.org for everybody, all the way from Bossier City.
Definitely. Well, though we are headquartered in Bossier City, we have a national presence. And as the director of cyber.org, I have the fortunate opportunity to lead a great team of educators who are tasked with supporting teachers across the country with content curriculum as it relates to cybersecurity. And we're able to do this because we have a federal grant from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and that grant allows us to provide cybersecurity career awareness, curricular resources, professional development to K-12 teachers across the United States at no cost.
Well, that is really wonderful, and you're going to have to – I'm going to dig a little deeper on that because that is when you say cybersecurity, are you training – is the goal of the curriculum to train children, students, if I may, to be safe on the Internet, or is it to train them to join the workforce later and understand cyber and cybersecurity? I need more help with what you guys do.
Well, it's both, Larry. You took my talking point right out of my mouth. You're good. What we focus on is ensuring that every student is cyber literate. Every student.
Wow.
Because
okay.
No matter what workforce you are going to go into, cybersecurity plays an important role in that industry, whether it's agriculture, healthcare, law, politics, or whether you're going to own or work at the flower shop on the corner of 3rd and Main Street. Cybersecurity plays a critically important role to ensuring that that infrastructure, that workforce is secure. But we also focus on ensuring that the cybersecurity workforce has a talent pipeline that
mm-hmm.
is starting to be aware at the K-12 level, starting to develop its skill sets at the K-12 level, potentially even industry-based certifications at the K-12 level, so they can then pursue 2-year, 4-year degrees in cybersecurity or go straight into the workforce right after high school.
And I know there's a difference. What's the difference between, and help me here, and I'm being quite serious, between understanding, learning computer engineering, that sort of thing, a degree in technology, if I may, whatever you want to say that, or a degree or understanding or working in cybersecurity. I need a good definition of cybersecurity. And I may be the only person who's mixed up on this in the whole world, but I'm curious about it. Okay, because you use the word, so yeah, when you say cybersecurity, what exactly do you mean?
When we talk about the word cybersecurity, we talk about the protection that is involved with our connected devices. We live in a digital age, and this digital age must be protected, and that refers to all those electronic devices that we interact with networks, to robots, to laptops, to cell phones, to the Internet of Things. You know, I'm sure if you bought a refrigerator in the last few years, it may ask you to connect to your Wi-Fi, and you're asking why in the world.
I didn't buy one of those, but I did see them. Yeah, I did see them.
Right.
Yeah.
But how do we protect that? And that's the importance of ensuring that we are creating digital citizens at the K-12
mm-hmm.
level so that when they graduate high school, they have a foundational understanding of how to live, work, and play in cyberspace safely.
And I have to ask you, most people do not have a really good sense of this, do they?
It's scary. It is scary to see that, you know, we have an education system that does not have a comfort level in teaching and introducing cybersecurity concepts to students. In fact, we did a study recently with EdWeek, and that study showed that 45% students in our country are receiving some kind of cybersecurity education, and 45%, and some may argue that, wow, that's almost half. But if I flip that around and tell you that only 45% of our students have received some kind of health education or some kind of, you know, reading lessons, you know, would that be acceptable?
Hmm.
Of course not. And so we have a call. We have a responsibility as educators is to, you know, educate the next generation workforce.
Oh, we really do. Indeed, it's amazing. How you're talking K-12, but are we talking about literally K, kindergarten? Are we talking about third grade? Are we talking about ninth grade? Where does your curriculum fit into that?
When I talk about K-12, I run elementary, middle, and high school. It is so important that as early as kindergarten, we are introducing students how
mm-hmm.
to be responsible when they are on the internet, when they are being
mm-hmm.
the responsibility that lies with not sharing your password to a device, the importance that we have to create a positive digital footprint. That is so important. And the cyber.org way of doing this is integrating
mm-hmm.
these concepts into existing lessons. You know, as educators, we know the importance of ensuring that the teaching that we are doing and conducting aligns to state-based standards. So we take math, science, ELA, and even social studies standards, and we teach teachers how to overlay a relevancy or context of cybersecurity into their day-to-day lessons. And, Larry, I'm sure you're going to ask me, okay, what does that mean, right? What does that mean, and how do we do it? Well, we take a concept like 5 minus 3 equals 2. We're teaching subtraction, and that's an important skill to learn. And instead of teaching 5 minus 3 equals 2 in a context of this story, Sally has three apples at the house. She has five friends coming over. How many apples does Sally need to go out and buy? We change apples to gigabytes, and we say Sally has a computer at the house that has 3 gigabytes of memory. She has this really cool program she wants to run that requires 5. How many gigabytes does Sally need to add? Then we totally transform the relevancy and the context of that to have students asking the question, what's a gigabyte? What's computer memory? How do you, you know, liken your computer memory to your own brain, and how does it function? So we really flip the relevancy upside down to create 21st century connections to the concepts that students need to know.
Well, if that's the case, you should really use oranges rather than apples, since Apple makes computers. Sorry.
There you go. That's great. I'm going to use that next time, Larry.
Feel free to use it. Feel free to use it. I could resist. All right. It's just, what can I tell you? All right. This is really interesting. So who's in elementary school? All right. You've got you got your teacher. It's a little easier, I guess, to figure out who's going to teach this. Okay. Who's going to teach it? How does it work once you get into the subject area grades, middle school and beyond? Who's teaching this to the kids?
Once you get older into the progression or later into the progression of the education cycle, we start seeing elective courses to come available to students. And so what we focus on is ensuring that teachers who have a background in technology, teachers who have a liking to technology, we really target those teachers to begin teaching our cyber literacy content or our technical cybersecurity content. But Larry, I want to drive home the point, though, that we design our content so that science teachers, math teachers, and even English language arts teachers can begin teaching this content in a way that introduces students to the opportunities of cybersecurity degrees, cybersecurity careers. So we want to ensure that teachers have that confidence. We want to ensure that teachers have the ability, any teacher. I'm a former assistant principal of a K-8 school, and I remember leading educators to do something that they're not comfortable with. It is very hard. It's very difficult. So being able to provide resources such as curriculum, being able to provide professional development to those educators is so meaningful to be able to introduce those technical skills at the middle and even at the high school level.
It really is. And you take your obviously you understand it from your assistant principalship years, okay, to the importance of this thing. And I'm curious, you've got an interesting journey here, not in terms of you particularly, but in terms of this curriculum. The curriculum is not only geared, okay, to make good digital citizens and understand the dangers involved, the security measures involved, which is so key, but it's also geared to encouraging them to become cybersecurity experts themselves and go into it as a profession, which is a very unusual thing. Okay, to have that kind of journey in a curriculum. And who came up with this idea? That's really pretty interesting. And I have to ask Kev, is there a shortage of people in the cybersecurity world?
Yes, most definitely. Well, I'll answer your latter question first. There is a tremendous workforce gap today. There's over 500,000 cybersecurity jobs that are open, and we don't have a workforce to fill it. It's not that these are jobs that are available that, you know, people are applying to. These are vacancies that we can't fill with a workforce. And so we have to address this in a twofold solution. One is the short-term need, and that's why we're partnering with, you know, two-year and four-year institutions to certify, to train, to upskill students to fill that need. But what we do at cyber.org is create the long-term disciplined solution to this workforce challenge. And by ensuring that we are raising the tide for all boats, for all students, by creating, by executing our goal of every student cyber literate, we not only fill and you know, channel more talent into the cybersecurity workforce, we are also channeling more cyber literate students into every industry. And quite frankly, Larry, you know, one of the, if we look at this from a national security perspective, I fully believe that the greatest threat to our national security is K-12 education. If we don't invest in the students today,
absolutely,
how are we going to protect our infrastructure for tomorrow?
Yeah, look at the way our infrastructure works now with all the breaches and everything else that you
exactly.
hear about all the time. It's unbelievable. I love what you guys are doing here. And you brought up, as we were preparing this show, two interesting things. You work in particular, and correct me, just expand on this, with Title I schools, okay? And you mentioned this. I'll just do it the way you said it. How can schools ensure that young ladies, girls, and other underrepresented groups become engaged in cybersecurity? Is that a particular challenge right now? It might be. Go ahead, Kev.
It is definitely a challenge. When you look at the makeup of today's cybersecurity workforce, it is white male, and that is troubling. When we take a look at the workforce gap, when we look at the huge demand there is, the white male is not going to solve that workforce. What we have to do is we have to create a model that allows students to be introduced to these concepts, to have these resources made available to them. And what I talk about is, how can we as an education system ensure that our students from high socioeconomic populations of our country all the way down to low socioeconomic populations of our country, how can we ensure that they are getting equal resources as it relates to cybersecurity education, so to introduce them to degrees and career opportunities. And cyber.org really has put our foot down in ensuring that we are breaking down racial barriers for cybersecurity education, gender barriers in cybersecurity education. This past summer, we set out to do all of our professional development virtually. And this, you know, was a goal of ours to ensure that not only our school districts who could afford to send their teachers to professional development, face-to-face professional development, we wanted to ensure that school districts who would not be able to afford to send their teachers to face-to-face professional development had the opportunity to receive training. So our virtual training saw over 70% of its teachers be from Title I schools. That number is an astonishing number, and we're starting to see the cybersecurity, what I call cybersecurity deserts, the voids of in our country, the pockets of our country that may not have a cybersecurity degree program at their university or a cybersecurity industry in that region. We're starting to see these cybersecurity deserts turn into cybersecurity oases, and that these schools, these K-12 schools are – creating such a workforce that companies are starting to flock to these communities, i.e. Bossier City, Northern Louisiana. We have such a tremendous economic boost in the world of cyber that compared to 10 years ago didn't even exist. So,
wow, it's incredible when you articulate all this, Kevin, okay, because this is something, it's kind of something – people think about, of course, they were concerned about cybersecurity and all that. I talk to school districts all the time, and they're CTOs, okay? They're chief technological officers, and security, student security is the number one concern. Privacy and security is the number one concern, period, end of discussion. Every ed tech company, which is the vast bulk of the industry now, as you well know, okay, is concerned about cybersecurity. But you're the first group I've ever heard that's really attacking this head on from an educational point of view. It's really, really good stuff what you're doing, I got to tell you.
And well, thank you, Larry. And you know, one of the things that I want to mention is that, you know, education does not happen just inside the classroom. you know, our cyber.org's focus is, you know, focusing on the formal education, but it's also focusing on the informal education. What's happening outside the classroom, in clubs, in after school programs. You know, cyber.org was fortunate to work with the Girl Scouts to write their 18 cybersecurity badges a year and a half ago. We work with, you know, after school programs. We work with the JROTC programs. These types of groups are going to help foster what is being taught in the classroom. And the third group that we're focusing on are the parents. You know, when we talk about educating the whole student, we have to focus on the classroom teacher, that formal education, the informal education, but then the home. And that is super important for us to be able to give parents the confidence to have conversations at the dinner table around what is a cybersecurity career and ease the fear of the unknown of what cybersecurity is by parents across the country.
Wow. And they have to know. It's unbelievable. What feedback, and I know you probably are getting excellent feedback, but I wouldn't hear it from you. What feedback are you hearing from educators? And I wanted to ask one other thing. I forgot. How long has this been around?
So we've actually been doing this program. We've been doing cybersecurity education since 2009. So we have over 12 years
experience.
Where have you
been? Where have you been all my life, Kevin? Where have you been? For goodness sake. How come I don't know about you? Yeah.
Right. We've been doing this from a kind of a grassroots organic effort, and then we're actually in year 8 of our federal grant that has allowed us to expand this program. And actually, we have over 22,000 educators using our content. We have teachers in all 50 states using our content, and we have strategic partnerships with 25 state departments of education to, you know, be approved and vetted from the State Department perspective.
Have you guys been to the big conferences like ISTE and COSIN and that sort of thing? Are you guys part of that, those groups?
We have.
I was going to say, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm happy to explain those, but you do know.
We do. ISTE and COSIN and NSTA, CSTA, these are all great, great partners of ours. And working to spread the good news, yes, to spread the opportunities that exist for educators to begin shaping the next generation workforce.
Yeah, it's real. It's really key. And this whole cybersecurity thing is just wild. What's the feedback you're hearing? Well, let me ask it a different way. Who's creating your curriculum? Who's doing that? And I know you have a staff. I've been to your website, cyber.org, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But talk about that. So how's it developed, et cetera? What's the feedback you get?
Yeah, the development aspect is really a fun and engaging process. So we lean so I have a team of 18 individuals who are subject matter experts in elementary, middle, high school, and varying topics. And during the development process, we reach out to not only educators – in this space. So our network of educators, we write contracts to educators all over the country to help support the development of content curriculum, but we also lean on our higher ed partners. What we want to do is ensure that the content and the curriculum that we develop, A, is practical and real for educators to use, but is also aligned to what higher ed and industry and government need as far
Good point.
As skill sets for students coming out of a K-12 system.
Hmm.
The ecosystem that I like to talk about is absolutely important, and we can't create content in a vacuum with, you know, a handful of people. We have to feel out. We have to ensure that the work that we're doing not only has a customer, but the end result is that our students are employable.
Absolutely. I mean, this is just – it's just this makes so much sense from the get-go, I got to tell you. And what do you hear from teachers? Now tell me. What are you hearing from them?
Some of the things that we're hearing from teachers, it's astonishing. And the very fact that we're seeing a 91% approval rating in our content curriculum, we're seeing in our professional development – a significant increase in confidence, and I go back to the word confidence, of teachers, And, you know, 94% of the teachers say that our content is grade level appropriate. 96% say it's aligned to required standards. And this is a stat that I love promoting. 92% of teachers say that it helps students understand cyber pathways. And that to me is where we begin solving the greatest challenge that and the reason why we exist is that if we can introduce students to cyber pathways, cyber opportunities, we begin closing that workforce gap.
And, you know, there's another side to this. You haven't talked on this, but there's been a real challenge out there with all the apps and everything that teachers use. And especially now with distance learning. Hello, I want to talk about that with you for a second. Okay.
Right.
But if they bring an app in, that app may not be secure. And a lot of my point being that a lot of educators, and I've heard this from CTOs and all the school districts, okay, the teachers don't understand the cybersecurity side of things. And they'll give an app to the kids, and it opens up a whole world of challenges. All right?
Right.
And that's a key thing. And you know, it's like the Wild West out there. Everything needs to be approved and interoperable with their whole system, and a lot of times it is not. Okay? That's because teachers themselves don't understand cybersecurity. Okay? They're
exactly.
interested in teaching the kids. They find something cool, et cetera. There's a whole place for that in here, which I think is really just another cool aspect of this. What are your thoughts on that?
Most definitely. And, Larry, your terminology of Wild Wild West could not be more appropriate and more fitting, because it really is the Wild Wild West, because you have so many organizations, so many different apps and things of that nature that are not focused on student privacy, that are outselling the data that is being mined. And what you may think as a tool that is, you know, helping you, in reality is hindering you and is hurting you.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, this distance learning, you know, has really ripped open a whole new way of thinking for educators. And
yep.
One of the things, if I could put a positive spin on this instead of
Please.
Kind of the doom and gloom, like, there's what's Wild Wild West out there. But, you know, one of the things that I have seen is that this provides students with a real-world example of how and why we need to think and learn how to safely operate in cyberspace. For, you know, we're seeing it firsthand. The students are getting real firsthand examples of how data can be compromised, how ransomware attacks are affecting school networks. And the very fact that we can point to this as a lesson learned for students that they can then take in their further development of education, that they're not going on to social media platforms and dumping all of their personal identifiable information on these websites when they're not, posting where they are and what they're doing and what they're eating. Things like that, we're starting to see a shift in students' mindsets, and they're
Good.
Pulling away from the feeling that they need to, you know, be, you know, posting everything they're doing on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, it does. That you said it earlier in the show, that cyber footprint. Okay, you got to be so careful with what's out there. It's just absolutely unbelievable. What also struck me about this conversation was the whole. I think you heard me at the beginning of the show. You know, we have our Consortium for Equity. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you spoke about that with the underrepresented groups and what you've done with the Title I schools and how they're jumping on this and they understand that it provides opportunity for their kids. I mean, it just fits in so nicely what you're doing at cyber.org with everything that's needed out there, especially in this distance learning stuff. And, Kev, I want to ask something else, which I did not know about until we prepared this show. There are cybersecurity education learning standards. Okay, am I correct when I say that? There are standards out
well,
there?
Well, in reality, there's not. And
oh,
what cyber.org
okay.
has done is has seen the lack of those learning standards. So K-12 educators, we all know that standards are the guides for what we teach, when we teach it, at what grade
Absolutely.
Level, what class. And there are no cybersecurity standards out there in our country. And states are, you know, just clamoring for some kind of guidance, some kind of baseline so they can begin ensuring that their students are cyber literate. So cyber.org last summer was able to start an initiative to develop a national set of K-12 cybersecurity standards. And when complete, and they'll be complete and published in August of this summer. So we are in the throes right now of writing them. But when they're complete, the standards will help ensure that students not only have a foundational understanding of cybersecurity, but also the skills and knowledge they need to pursue cybersecurity degrees and careers.
This is excellent. It really is. And the whole idea of filling in the workplace is just great. And the opportunity it provides for everybody is just great. I'm going to follow up with you on a phone call sometime today or tomorrow. Is that okay, Kev? This is interesting.
Absolutely, Larry. Larry.
I mean, it's just, this is really, really fascinating. You guys are doing good work out there, and I didn't know anything about this. And I'm so glad when I got your information and I set up this show, because I think it's important. We've got to disseminate this information out there. We're doing all we can here. We're talking to a lot of people today. Okay, it's this is really good stuff is all I can tell you. And, you know, it is literally K-12 stuff, and it's just going to prepare kids for success in later life, too. I think you really got a big job ahead of you, my friend, doing all this. This is cool. How long have you been there, Kev?
So I'm just now starting my sixth year with the organization. So I've been able to be along for a lot of the great work and have been able to – have been fortunate enough to see some great growth within our organization, and we're continuing to climb the mountain, and we're running it up. We're running up that mountain right now.
Yeah, well, you are running up the mountain, and the mountain. Unfortunately, in today's crazy world, the mountain keeps getting higher. Okay, it's
higher.
Like a bad,
exactly.
Like a bad fable. But you're getting there. You're outrunning the escalator, as I like to say. Okay, you're doing pretty good. We're going to talk some more. All right, Kevin. Thank you a million. This is just great. Thank you for all this information,
Larry. I've enjoyed the conversation, and thank you for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure, sir. You'll hear from me again. You take care. All right. Be safe down there in Boozer City. We'll talk.
Thank you, Harry. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Kevin Knowlton, everybody. Kevin's the executive director. This is incredible. Cyber.org. I never knew this existed. Cyber.org. Check it out. You'll be impressed. You can use everything they're doing. Okay? Cyber.org. Wow. Good stuff. All right. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity. This has a big equity side to it. I didn't even realize that. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.